Now on Radio 4, Saturday Night Theatre.
We Will Know Them by Gordon McKerrow, with Francesca Annis as Molly and Richard Derrington as Teddy.
Ginna conchy, meet a conchy, coming through the clink. Ginna conchy, greet a conchy, should a conchy wink.
It can be very beautiful when the avenues of trees mask the prison. It can be very verdant and manicured and grand. But the coming of the frosts and the winter mists always paints a different picture. I think I've lost all count of the times I've idled down these paths, or marked my coat on the benches, sitting, waiting. Waiting for the tower clock near the railway to tell me the hour when I could walk to the prison gates, show my visiting permit and pray God this time be granted admission. Be admitted inside those gates to see him. Teddy.
Ginna conchy, meet a conchy, coming through the clink. Ginna conchy, greet a conchy, should a conchy wink. Ilka conchy, hey a comrade, ne'er a one hey I, but all the comrades smile at me, coming on the sly.
Teddy.
Conchy, 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 conchy.
Teddy!
Molly, over here.
Teddy, I thought I'd lost you.
Where did you get to?
Got separated by those dreadful people outside.
Oh, don't mind them.
They didn't pull your hair.
It's mostly our people inside, though. There are more of us than I thought.
It's difficult to see with everybody packing in, sir. Which is Clifford Allen?
Down there, by the bench.
Silence! Silence! Majesty's Military Service Tribunal. First claimant to be heard on this day, the 14th of March, 1916, Allen, Clifford.
Are we ready now? Mr. Allen, will you stand?
This is not some circus sideshow. It is a tribunal on behalf of His Majesty's government and armed forces. I will have silence throughout.
Right then, Mr. Allen. You may now present your grounds of claim for exemption from military service.
Mr. Chairman, I am a socialist, and so hold in all sincerity that the life and personality of every man is sacred, and that there is something of divinity in every human being, irrespective, sir, of the nation to which he belongs. To me, war is murder. I never have, and never will shirk my bounded duty to serve my fellow men. But at present, I believe I can best render such service by striving to advance the cause of peace.
You are aware that many socialists have gone to war.
Yes. But I am justified in interpreting my socialist faith according to my own judgment. After all, the same might be said of the Christians who believe the churches have abandoned the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Do you not belong to any religious sect?
No.
Do you belong to any organization?
Yes. The No Conscription Fellowship.
Of which you are the chairman?
Yes.
Then you make your application on moral grounds.
Yes, I have already said that.
Is it right, on moral grounds, to allow a foreign foe to invade Britain?
I do not desire to see this country occupied by Germans, but if everyone shared my views, there would be no invasion. No civilized country would think of attacking another.
Mr. Chairman, we have had enough of this. The case will be stopped.
The military representative is anticipatory. We are obliged to hear the applicant. Continue.
In case the tribunal decides that I have no conscientious objection, I feel it only honorable that I should make it quite clear that even then I must remain resolute in my decision.
The tribunal disallows your claim.
Can you give me any reason for your decision?
Your application is disallowed, that is all.
Shame!
I have warned these people before! Clear the gallery! A bit of a hero, are you not, Mr. Allen?
Cabby!
Taxi? Kitty, are you mad?
Dulwich, please.
The taxi to Dulwich, you are mad.
Come on, get in.
But this is...
Get in. I feel wonderful.
This is going to cost a fortune.
I feel so inspired now. He's made up my mind for me. Wasn't he good?
Yes. He was very good.
The way he stood up to them. And he was so eloquent. Lord, how he got them going. Did you hear those cheers from the gallery?
We were in the gallery.
And the way he presented his claim.
Teddy, he lost his claim.
Of course he lost his claim, but that was not the point of the exercise.
Then would you mind telling me what it was?
The demonstration of a principle, you know that? The war is wrong and should not be fought.
Perhaps. A woman gave him a white feather. They called him names. Traitor.
Sticks and stones.
What will happen to him now?
More names. And the choice of joining the army or going to prison. But it isn't really a choice for him.
Poor man.
Why?
I don't envy him.
I do.
Teddy.
Well, I do. He's pointing the way. Sometimes, Molly, you just don't grasp what's going on.
More than you think.
You don't seem to understand me.
Oh, Teddy, I... I do want to. I do so want to, but...
But what?
I'm scared. When will I see you?
Soon. I love you. Love me?
I do. But I need to know more.
Stay by me.
For God's sake, tell me how.
We will know them. The cunning, hypocritical rascals who would do anything rather than serve the land which has given them birth and protection. And we can easily picture them with their sloping foreheads and receding chins. With sorrow and shame, we admit that they are to be found nowhere else in Europe than in England. The duty of the tribunals is plain. They must be rigid in their policy of inclusion. They must let none escape who is capable of performing an enforced service. To those who stay behind to indulge the whim called conscientious objection, we should show no mercy.
Thank you, Janet.
And how was your day today, Molly? Thank you, Janet.
That will be all.
Busy, was it? The library full?
Yes, it was a busy day.
That will be all, Janet. What is it, girl?
Will you tell Mr. Hibbert, madam?
Yes, I will tell him, Janet. Now, run along.
Tell me what? What does she mean?
She's given her notice, dear.
A notice? Where the devil for?
Apparently that young man of hers has persuaded her to go and make shells or something.
Oh, munitions. Oh, damn the man. Why? That's dangerous work. Those people are always blowing themselves up.
It's the pay, Father. It's very good.
Damn the money. She did all right here. And she had a roof over her head. Well, if that's how she shows her loyalty and gratitude, she can pack her bags and go tomorrow.
She's given a week's notice, dear.
I don't want her in the house.
You are being rather harsh.
If I was being harsh, I'd kick her out tonight and let her beg charity from that high-handed fellow of hers.
Give her until the end of the week, Father. She's worked very hard for us.
I know she has. That's the infuriating part. Just when your father's finding himself in a financial position to afford the better class of servant, that damn breed of girl decides it's all beneath their dignity.
Father, it's this very war that takes away the serving girls. It's also letting you make enough money to afford the better ones, if they were still available.
Don't you begrudge your father his success, my girl.
Mary, we are fighting the Germans to protect all that this country holds dear. Freedom. Freedom for your father to work hard for his family.
Freedom for servant girls to choose a different life for themselves.
And what's so wrong with being a serving girl, I'd like to know? How is your mother going to manage?
It's not a very big house, Father.
Don't you mock at me, you ungrateful child. This house is damn big for a man in my position.
Father, I was only saying...
How many people eat as well as we do? How many sit to a table like this?
Hmm? Now, you two, don't quarrel. We shall just have to get by. The Cheshunts at 53 have lost their elder boy. I saw it in the paper. Poor dears. And she's so pretty.
Who?
Mrs. Cheshunt.
Oh.
I think you ought to know I haven't been to the library today.
What did she say?
She said she hasn't been to the library today.
Why the devil not?
I saw someone.
Who, dear?
You wouldn't know him.
Him?
Yes. A man, Mother. Male.
You were without a chaperone?
Why didn't you tell us you had a gentleman friend?
Because you wouldn't like him.
Oh. How long have you known him?
Since just after the war began.
But that's over 18 months ago. Why didn't you bring him home to meet us?
Because we met at a woman's suffrage meeting.
Oh.
Rum sort of fellow he must be, consorting with a horde of hysterical females.
If the girl likes him, let him be. We haven't even met him yet.
She's known him for long enough. If we were going to be allowed to meet him, we'd have done so months before. It's all too secret to my mind.
He's probably in the army. They don't get much leave at the moment.
He's not in the army.
Oh. Well, reserve occupations are vital too. They're kept pretty busy, I'm told.
I know why she hasn't brought him home. She hasn't brought him home because he's a bloody scrimshanker.
My dear, that is not a word for the table.
That's him, isn't it?
He took me today to see a tribunal hearing.
Did you say a tribunal?
Alfred, he's a conchy. Her young man is a conchy.
I think we've heard enough.
Why does everyone hate conscientious objectors? At least they're doing something they believe in, even if it does send them to prison.
I said enough.
You're prepared to condemn people like Teddy out of hand, but what do you believe in? I mean, you're filled with hate.
Molly... Leave the table.
You hate the Germans, you hate the conscious, but what do you believe in?
See what you've done now. You've made your mother cry. Are you satisfied? Get out of this room. Go.
I had done it. I'd told them. At least I tried to. I knew that I should have to someday soon if I was to muster the support that Teddy seemed to so need of me. It was not defiance that drove me. I hadn't wanted to hurt them, and it was fear that tied my tongue and made me grind my teeth as I walked purposefully as I could from that room. Teddy?
Molly, over here!
Teddy!
Here!
Strange place to meet, isn't it?
What's so wrong with the bandstand in the park, may I ask?
Aren't those soldiers playing?
There may be soon. It's the band from some brewery. Unless keeping the nation desensitized with alcohol is considered to be useful labor for the war effort.
They look like soldiers in those uniforms.
They sound like soldiers. Rousing, isn't it? A handful of red-nosed brewers resplendent in blue and gold, entertaining a handful of Londoners with nothing better to do but sit in deck chairs and applaud politely with gloved hands.
We should move away from here before they start asking for requests.
I'd ask for Deutschland über alles.
And those polite gloved hands would probably beat you to death.
At least you'd get some reaction from them.
Come on, let's walk.
Give me your hand.
Why?
Because I want to hold it.
Not in the park, Teddy.
Yes, in the park, Molly. There. What's so shocking about that?
I told Mother and Father about you. And about us.
What did they say?
They asked who the chaperone was. There's something else I told Mother and Father. I told them you were a conscientious objector.
All they wanted was a chaperone. As your suit of armour. As your frontline trench to protect your patriotic sensibilities.
I stuck out for you.
I don't need apologists where people like your parents are concerned.
It's unfair.
Is it? I found a copy of the Daily Mail today. Some jingo left it behind on the bus. Look at it. Just look at it. Can't be healthy for them to be so permanently eaten up with insane hatred.
I love my parents. Last night I hurt them and I hated doing it.
Then why bother at all? You needn't have told them.
Teddy, don't tear me up inside more than you're doing already. I needed to speak to someone, to share it, to test the reaction.
And?
They've forbidden me to see you again.
Then you best act like the dutiful daughter you profess to be.
I'm my own woman. Don't forget, I found my cause long before this war came along and gave you yours. Teddy, why are we talking like this?
Maybe because of this.
What is it?
Have a look.
Your call-up. When did it come?
This morning.
What happens now?
Now it starts.
The tribunals must let none escape who is capable of performing an enforced service. We are at war with the greatest military power the world has seen, and it is our business to crush that power. To those who stay behind to indulge the whim called conscientious objection, we will show no mercy.
May we get on now, Mr. Chairman? I don't wish to linger unduly over cases this afternoon.
Yes, Major, please be patient. Well then, Usher, instruct the applicant to approach us.
The applicant, Edward Timothy Mayhew, will now approach the Board of Tribunal. You are Edward Timothy Mayhew, unemployed, a lodger at 18 Lord Cardigan Terrace?
Yes.
Address the board.
What?
Address the board. When you give an answer to a question, you address the board.
Did you say unemployed? Are you unemployed? You're a young man of sound body and some intelligence, it would seem. So why are you unemployed?
I was denied my previous position.
And why?
My employers learnt of my intention to resist conscription.
What was your previous position?
I was taking articles in a solicitor's practice.
You were taking articles in the practice of law, and yet you intend to flout that law by turning your back on your king and country.
I flout no laws. It is my right to make application for exemption.
Do you people not realize that you put victory for us in jeopardy by your cowardly attitude? And you wish to see us defeated and overrun with Germans?
It is my belief that no one will win the war. At least not in the conclusive manner that you wish. The sides are too evenly matched. And that by definition we will all lose by it.
That is not a very correct thing to say. In view of the glorious fight our fine young men are waging.
The young men are certainly fine. But the fight, did you not consider it remotely glorious?
What would you do if you find a German raping your sister?
Am I supposed to answer questions like that?
You are insolent. You are obliged to answer all questions. I can do your case no good by being difficult.
So, what would you do?
I would do what I would do if I found any man forcing his attentions on a woman.
And what would that be?
I should endeavour to interpose myself between them.
Interpose? What does he mean?
I mean that I should not shoot him or castrate him.
Yeah, but if he were a German?
I fail to see why a German should be singled out for special treatment.
Do you really mean to say you wouldn't kill anybody?
Yes.
What an awful state of mind to be in. Have you ever been in a lunatic asylum?
No, I have not.
Hey, where are you going? We have not finished with you yet.
I think you had finished with me before this pantomime even began. You're supposed to sit in impartial judgment, and yet you have already condemned me by your prejudice. I can see I'm not going to get a fair hearing, so I might as well return home and await the police.
Do you not wish the board to consider your claim?
Of course I do. I have a conscience that tells me I must not kill. But I also have an instinct that tells me I shall go to prison if I do not kill. What is the point in my continuing? The Major presumes to speak for me in my beliefs. Very well. I will speak for you in making your judgment. Application not allowed. Next applicant, please.
Teddy, why? Why walk out like that?
Why? Why should I listen to it all? I will not be forcibly made a soldier. The duty to fight for my country, right or wrong, is piffle. If the country is wrong, then it is wrong and should have no support. We are wrong. Germany is wrong. Just because I'm not prepared to pull a German's guts out on the end of a bayonet, does that make me an enemy of Britain? What's that you have?
It's not important.
What is it?
I made it for you, so I might as well give it to you. Even if it is the wrong time. It's a cake.
Cake?
I know it's the wrong time, but you're not eating.
So I should eat cake?
No, it was meant as a present. I'm trying to get through to you.
You should have the chance to go. Now. Because whatever happens from now on isn't going to be easy. It will hurt us both.
I know.
You are wavering.
Not about us.
But about my stand. No, you are. Don't deny it. Go on, get out. Go on.
No.
Yes. Go. You don't believe. I do. There's a crack and it can only grow. Now go.
Teddy, please.
I've no room left for half-hearted loyalties.
You think I'm half-hearted?
About me, no. But about what I believe in, yes. The time has gone for doubts.
That cake there, that wretched cake, is probably the last thing I'll ever bake in my mother's kitchen. And do you know why? Because I told my family about you.
I know you did.
I have now been informed that I'll no longer be welcome at home. All right. They can hate me if they want to. But don't you say, don't you dare say. There. You can try eating cake now. Teddy, you're shaking.
Yes, look. The brave young man who stood up to authority is shaking. Surely that same brave young man cannot be afraid. Afraid of a group of bigots who have the power to condemn him and yet are themselves safe in the knowledge that they are too old to go to fight. Oh, yes, Molly. Your brave young man is. Old men made this war. Bring the soldiers home and let them do the crawling in the Flanders mud. Molly, you're clouding everything. I cannot take things well enough with you around. With you around, I would want my freedom too much. So for my sake, go. Yes?
Mr. Mayhew, I've heard news about you that a landlady doesn't want to hear about one of her tenants, Mr. Mayhew. I should have thrown you out.
Edward Mayhew, we're police officers.
Let them wear, until peace be signed, a white armlet of shame. And let it be made plain that after the war, there will be no place for them at the ballot box. It is an ignoble thought that we should be governed by men who do not scruple to throw the burden of defence upon others, and to exult in the very act of shirking a superior wisdom and piety.
Have you eaten since dinner?
I haven't eaten for 2 days.
Hunger strike before they've even put you away.
When you're out of a job and a public enemy, sometimes you need what money you have for other things.
Oh, food takes second place with you, does it?
I'd rather have a bed and a place to think just at the moment.
Well, we've given you that free of charge. And if you want supper, you won't have to dig in your pocket for that neither.
I'll live.
I wouldn't. I didn't get into having to put extra holes in my belt by not scoffing what was in front of me.
I'll survive. Leave me alone.
Yeah, there'll be a lot more trouble ahead for you, my lad. You make a stand now, and who have you got to see you doing it? You've been arrested, and you're in a station cell for one night. The chief and quite a few of the lads will be glad to see you rot here and now. You shouldn't be wanting that.
I shouldn't be here at all.
Quite a lot of important people think you should.
Can't you leave me alone?
If that's your wish. But hearken to this. I took a risk speaking as I've done, and that's a fact.
What do you mean?
Look, it's not in your mind to know what I mean.
Tell me.
Look, if you'd killed someone, I wouldn't pass a second by my watch with you. If you'd nicked something, I'd tell you what a daft boogie you'd taken up as being and leave it at that. It's the quickness, you see. No fraternization. Take a pen, put down the charge, lock him up, leave him. Later, shove in a plate of scoff and a mug of tea, leave him again, and in the morning, unlock him to allow the law to proceed as it must. You are no different if you look at the book. But the chief told me not to feed you. Well, who gives a wink to the book when you've got a padlock on a conchie downstairs? Some men interpret that one way. I interpret it another. But if you have not the interest in a sympathetic voice, then what's the bother?
Don't go.
Got to. There's no fraternization, you see. But I've got a meal gathering the cold here. You'll be in an army detention centre soon anyway. And there won't be much time for fattening up there. Still, you don't want it. I can always put another hole in me belt. And I'll see you for court in the morning.
I can smell the food.
Then eat it. Come on, eat it. Well, I suppose you think you're the first. We've had your people through here before. I've seen where they've gone.
So you think I should give up, do you?
Eat that, son. And don't give up. I've got a boy. How old are you? I have a boy younger than yourself, I put it. Not with your education, mind. He signed. Against his father, but he signed.
Where is he now?
6 months since we had the telegram. Not dead, but missing. 6 months, not dead, but missing. Same thing, only they don't have a body. Is this his hand? Is this his thigh? Is this his brain? Oh, slam the bits together and send off the regrets. Missing or dead, he's as gone as ever he might be. And we shan't set eyes on him again. And what bloody for? I'll leave you now.
Don't you want the plate?
I'll finish it in your own time. But if the night officer puts his mush round the door, slip it under the bench. There's a lad.
Yes, Mr. Wilson?
No complaints.
Well, the pipes that run through my room are very noisy and the window is jammed shut.
But you get what you pay for.
I suppose so.
You off then?
Yes, I'm going to work.
A letter's come for you.
A letter? Where?
Here.
May I have it, please?
Dearest Molly, I'm glad to learn that you have found some lodgings. I hope they are not too primitive. I feel I have been monstrously cruel to you during my last few days of freedom. Please forgive me. But you should know that even though I am no longer free, my attitudes are not going to be moved or changed one inch. Also, my darling, be prepared for fewer of these letters. The magistrate may have forced me into the army, but I am not going to be a good little boy and behave myself here in the camp. So the first thing they will do is to stop me writing. If ever we lose contact for a while, then you should go to the No Conscription Fellowship. It is so good to know that we have an organized campaign behind us. It's their business to trace all our whereabouts, making it more difficult for the army to do what they would really like to do to us if they felt they could get away with it.
You were late this morning, Miss Hibbert.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
The morning papers have not been put out in the reading room. What are you reading?
Only a letter, sir.
Only a letter, sir? And is this only a letter, sir, a personal one?
Yes, sir.
Speak up.
Yes, sir.
From a young man?
Yes.
From France, I presume. Well, put it away, girl. You can hear all the news from the battlefield when you're at home this evening. Now, come along.
My dearest, sometime there has to come an end to this war. Reason must prevail. But that is in the future, and as I sit here with pencil in hand, that future appears indistinct. Keep faith, my darling, I pray you, for in that knowledge I will find the strength to continue. All my love, Teddy.
Private Mayhew, sir!
Bring him in.
Escort and the double! Escort! Shun! Salute and state your name, rank and number to the officer. Announce yourself in the correct banner to the officer. Now, look, Mayhew, you're already in trouble up to the neck.
All right, Sergeant.
I want to teach him to show the proper respect, sir.
Just read the charges, will you?
Charges are continued and willful refusal to obey orders, refusal to salute officers, and refusal to wear the King's uniform, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant. That will be all. That will be all.
I think the escort should stay with the prisoner, sir.
He doesn't look dangerous to me.
Very good, sir. Escort, about turn. Quick! March!
Well, Mayhew, what have you got to say? Look, there's no point in continuing to act the goat, is there? No point in making things more difficult for yourself than they are already? You've had your say, you've made your point, you entered your claim and you lost. It is our duty now to make you a soldier whether you like it or not. And as it's a fait accompli anyway, you might as well like it. Now look, old boy, I can sense you're a man of education and culture. We are equals, you and I. You've been allowed to make your protest, and that's smashing. After all, that's what England's all about. This fight against the Boche is a fight for freedom, after all, isn't it? I'm talking to you man to man. And a captain shouldn't be doing that with a private. Look, if you'd only knuckle down and do what's expected of you, you'll find that army life isn't as bad as all that. Oh, Spartan maybe, but not that bad.
My objections to being sold.
I think you should ask for permission to speak.
May I have permission to speak?
Go ahead.
My objections to being a soldier have nothing whatsoever to do with whether I will find enough creature comforts to keep me happy. My objections
Oh,
are...
I know all about your objections. I've been given a very efficiently compiled history of them.
Then you should know that you will have little success in making me a soldier.
I could put you on yet another charge for what you have just said.
Then do so.
For pity's sake. If not for your country, then for yourself. Stick with it. Put on the uniform, obey orders, and be a soldier. If not for pity's sake, then for sanity's sake.
If that is sanity, then I'd be glad to be counted amongst the lunatics.
You are making things very, very difficult for yourself. Sergeant!
Sir!
Take him away.
How deep is it now?
Twice as deep as the grave, Sarge, and we've struck water. Hold it, he's too.
Out you come, then. Now, see that hole, Mayhew? Muddy, isn't it? Bloody cold, too, I'm reliably informed. Now, are you going to put this uniform on? One way or another, you will, so you might as well do it now. Hicks, Baker, hold him. Hold him! Hold the bugger! Pull off the trousers, you idiot! Oh, now, what have we got here? Ah, look, my brave warriors of the king. A country without his decency. But my, don't you learn something every day. Them countries are built the same as us. Proper little babe in the mud, aren't we? Suits you, bollock naked and covered with slime. Right then, put him in, but gentle now, men. Now, you'll stay there and rot for all I care until you wear that uniform. Why don't you say something? Why don't you abuse me? I'd like that just now. Go on, tell me something rude about me so as I can belt you.
Dearest Molly, I write this from the guardroom. I have been transferred to a detention centre, and so it will be, by necessity, short and careful. If it is anything but that, then it may never reach you. They still persist in trying to make me a soldier, and I still refuse. They are now to court-martial me, but please do not let this distress you, as most of our lads get court-martialed sooner or later. On one thing, though, the army have relented, for I am to be allowed my first visit. I can do nothing now but sit and fidget with excitement until I see you.
There's to be no touching, miss. Take your hand off his.
I'm glad my letters are getting through. You can never be sure. They hardly ever let me see anything you write. It's good to see you, Molly.
Teddy, you look so pale.
There's to be no touching.
Don't you fret. I'm well enough.
But what are they doing to you?
I told you I would be a bad boy. They are treating me as such.
You're wearing uniform.
In the end, it was all they left me to wear.
I don't know whether you'll be allowed them, but I brought you some cigarettes.
Oh, thank you.
Some matches, too. One thing isn't much use without the other, is it?
I want you to contact the No Conscription Fellowship for me. I've written a description of the things that have been done to me and to the other objectors here.
What things?
There's to be no whispering, neither. I need to hear what you're saying.
Put your hand under the table. Take it. I've made it look like a handkerchief.
No whispering, I said. What did you just tell her?
Yeah, wipe your nose with it. Haven't you ever been in love, Corporal?
What do you mean?
I mean, can't I say anything to her without your prying ears being witness to it all?
Orders are the prisoners may not be allowed to whisper. I'm watching you, Mayhew. Anyway, time's up.
I do love you, Molly.
Yes.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Molly?
A hatch in the barrack gates was open for me to leave. And I was leaving Teddy behind. We told each other white lies and hidden everything. The hatch that had been opened so automatically for me to exit was slammed shut with the same unthinking precision. Three or four trees in the park outside were covered with whiteness of tissue paper kites. The trees seemed to dance with them as though the breeze that tugged and tore at the paper would uproot a chestnut with all its weight and age, like discarded litter on a holiday weekend. Children played and shouted round the trees, still releasing their treasured toys to be entangled and lost in the branches above.
Hello?
Hello.
You're looking at the kites. Quite a show they make, don't they?
Kites are for flying. Those children seem to want to lose them in the trees.
Been inside on a visit, have you?
Yes.
He's a CO.
Who?
A conscientious objector.
He is. For all the good it'll do him.
Come away from here. I want to show you something.
What do you want?
Over here. Here. Look. Closer. Come on. There. Now. What do you see?
I don't want to see.
Prison cell windows. Rows of them. Now look behind you. What do you see?
Trees.
Yeah, but what's in those trees?
The kites. I'm not blind.
And neither are those windows. They see the kites as well as we do. Are you thirsty? I am. Come with me.
Where are we going?
Come with me.
But the children...
Their mother's with them. Find a nice table. Over there, by the window. Please, sit. No room for anyone to join us. Funny place, isn't it? The average age of the clientele must be well over 100. And look at those hats. If you put those hats all together and floated them in the channel, you'd double the Navy overnight. What a contribution to the war effort.
Yes, please.
What'll you have? Tea, coffee, bun, cake?
Just tea, please.
Just a pot of tea, then, please.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I treated you as I did. I was carried away with the excitement of the kites. Have you ever heard of the No Conscription Fellowship?
Yes. From Teddy.
Teddy? Teddy, Teddy? Ah, would that be Edward Mayhew?
Yes.
Ah, not a bad memory for names, then. We've 20 in this detention centre at the moment. Just a minute. Let me look in my file. Mayhew. A month in camp and a week here. Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're in love with him.
What were the kites for?
Your pot of tea, miss.
Oh, thank you.
And your complaints, miss, about the hats, miss. A lady's complained to the manageress.
Indeed.
And the kites?
A signal to our men inside. You probably think you're quite alone in your troubles, but you're not. We're building influence for our very numbers. And we are going to stir the public's conscience. Have you seen this before. It's a leaflet the Fellowship's published. It's called Repeal the Act.
I think Teddy read it.
You read it. Aloud.
Conscription is now law in this country of free traditions. Our hard-won liberties have been violated. Mm.
Give it to me. I want to say something to those hats. Conscription imperils the freedom of individual conscience and establishes in our midst that militarism which menaces all social progress and divides the people of all nations. We reaffirm our determined resistance to all that is established by the Military Service Act. Repeal the Act. That is your only safeguard.
Miss, the manageress.
If this be not done, there will be imposed upon us the very system which our statesmen affirm that they set out to overthrow.
Oh, Miss, here she comes. I did
something. What shall it profit the nation if it shall win the war and lose its own soul?
Young woman, that leaflet you read has been banned by the government.
Have you ever read it?
Out, or I shall have the police come.
You shall have to go, Miss.
Out!
You see those children and their mothers? Somewhere, those children have fathers and those mothers have husbands whom they're not allowed to see. Now, they alone can't chase and harass those who imprison and damage their loved ones. But together, Molly, together we can. The army's beginning to force-feed, you know. Have you ever been force-fed?
No.
Neither have I. But I know people who have. Sylvia Pankhurst, for one.
You know her?
Yes, I worked with her at her mission in the East End.
You're a suffragette. So was I. Hmm.
All the women now in the Fellowship were.
That's how I met Teddy. We went to the meetings together. I found Christabel very impressive.
Well, from now on, you can forget her. And her mother. They've shattered the women's movement by their support of the war.
They were brave women.
And violent women. With the exception of Sylvia, they've sold out to the very people they campaigned against.
Over there in that tea room, they really hated you. They'll hate Teddy as well. I don't want that.
You'd rather he enlisted and went to France, wouldn't
no.
you?
No. I don't know. You ask if I love him. Yes, I do, but the rest of the country can only hate him.
Then the country must be made to see.
I know all the arguments and the reasoning behind the peace movements. God knows I've had them drummed into me enough by Teddy, but deep down inside me, a little red, white and blue flag is still waving and it won't stop.
Then don't let it. I'm British too, and so are the men behind that barrack wall across the common.
But patriotism can only mean one thing when you're at war.
Molly, you're sitting on the fence and you can't afford to be there. That's not going to help Teddy. Molly, I'm sorry, please wait. Please. What are you looking at?
It's the handkerchief. Teddy has written on it.
Oh, bad news.
Have a look. If you call men being stripped, kicked and beaten bad, if it is bad to truss a man up and drag him by a horse or strap another in a straitjacket for days at a time.
The Fellowship's starting a newspaper. May we print this?
I think that's what Teddy hoped you'd do.
Thank you. Ah! If that's 6 o'clock, I'm afraid I have to go. We have a meeting this evening. Why don't you come?
I think I'd rather sit here for a minute.
Look, here's our address. If you ever get any further news like this, or you want to talk, or just need a sympathetic ear. All right?
Now feeling no longer so isolated, I went with her, this positive girl of the close-cropped hair, the short skirt and pamphlets. I followed her rapid feet to a church some miles away, still not knowing whether I was acting for the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, we know that nothing can happen to deflect the Fellowship from its true purpose, but it is with regret that the committee has to inform you of a disturbing and ominous turn in events. Despite assurances from the Home Office that advocacy of repeal was a legal activity, We have learned that the 8 committee members who put their names to the leaflet entitled Repeal the Act have all received summonses under that infamous measure, the Defence of the Realm Act. We sense that the warmongering cabinet is beginning to feel threatened by us. We all know well how certain national newspapers regard us. But it is with pride and pleasure that I announce that we can continue our campaign on equal terms. The Fellowship will, from Thursday, be publishing a weekly newspaper of its own. But while we await the first copies of the tribunal, let us not forget the great help that has been given to us by those certain national newspapers. They may damn us right now, we make a stand for, but we must thank them for spreading news of our activities. I only mention this now because I see that one of those helpful gentlemen of the press, indeed the editor of the Daily Express, has decided to be present at our gathering tonight.
He's speaking into this snake.
That very same gentleman of the press has something to say. Sir, in gratitude for your assistance, the floor is yours.
My paper gives notice of your meetings and activities because my readers wish to know who the pro-German, the socialist, and the other cowards and shirkers are in their midst. And many of my readers have responded in the manner their king and country would expect of them. Open the doors!
This is not an open meeting!
It is now!
What are those soldiers doing here? Have they come in an official capacity?
They are on leave. And as private citizens, they have a right to express their feelings.
What about us? Do we have no rights?
Cowards and shirkers have no rights. I hereby declare that we have taken over this hall, but a rally in support of the armed forces of Great Britain and the Empire.
Will you please leave?
No! It is our meeting now, and it is your turn to leave. Okay, boys, get me the chair. I think the police are waiting for you, Mr. Chairman.
Get out!
It's me then. Go on, mate. Up you go.
Will
you please let go of my arm?
I have the chair. This is our meeting now. Look at them. It's contemptible. They confess they would prefer to see their mothers murdered and their sisters outraged rather than hurt their brother German. Throw the Hun lovers out! Roll Britannia!
Come on, Molly. We better leave. We can't let them do this and get away with it.
Where you belong.
We are not German.
Might as well be the help you give the Kaiser win the war.
Let us pass, please.
Let us pass, please. Isn't she a polite one?
What harm have we done you?
She here has a brother in the army. Where are your menfolk, eh? At home, all cosy by the fire.
He's in prison.
They should be shot, the lot of them. The other one, I recognise her. She's one of their miserable bigwigs. I've seen you before. Grab her!
No, leave her alone.
Marcy, over here, quick. We've got a good one. What should we do with you? What do you deserve?
Leave go of her. Please, you're hurting her.
Marcy, get her friend. What should we do? I know. Stick her head in the fountain. Call her bloody politicking off. Nice coach, yes. True, but he's going to get spoiled. Come, she, lover.
Leave your friend.
Shut that one up, Marcy. You're a country lover and a pasty face. What are you? Up for the third and last time, eh?
God, Kate.
Oh, and whose god do you mean? There ain't no god on your side.
Yes. I can see a copper over there. Better leave up. Can't you feel lucky this time? We'll be watching for you.
Lydia. Lydia. Can you stand?
Take me back to the office.
Oh, Lydia. We'll take it slowly.
So this is the building, is it?
Yes.
Where do we go now?
Up the stairs.
Second floor. Careful now. Look, put your arm over me. Up we go.
At the top of the stairs was a small office, seemingly filled with pale young men, a doctor tending their bloodied faces. Prominent in the room were two women. I would later learn their names, Joan Beecham and Catherine Marshall, and come to understand that without them there would be no newspaper and there would be no fellowship.
You call yourselves a peace movement? It's like a frontline hospital.
One important difference, Doctor. In the battle this evening, our members were merely the victims,
yes,
not
the
aggressors.
Yes, we have quite a few here in the office. We're patching them up now. Has anybody gone to hospital, do you know? I said, has anybody gone to hospital? Well, can you try and get that organized and telephone me back? All right, where was I? No, keep the dressing to your face. It'll help stop the bleeding. And let's have a look at you now. Oh, God, how did that happen?
They thrown me from the hall. I was struggling to get back inside when they slammed the door on my hand.
Oh, I don't think I can deal with that. Doctor, when you have a moment,
in
please.
In a minute. There's your eye. I'm good busy. That's it. Open your eyes. Can you feel all right? Good.
Well done, Catherine.
Well, there you are, Lydia.
Trust you to find a doctor who'd treat pacifists at this hour of the night.
It's a bit of a patronising old goat, but we couldn't have done without him.
Touch of the Catherine Marshall string pulling in Harley Street, no doubt.
He owed me a favour.
The number of useful people you know is quite staggering. Lydia, what happened to you?
You're soaked. You look half dead.
I think she swallowed a lot of water.
How do you feel?
Dizzy, that's all. Just give me a moment. Well, help us, someone. Clear that chair. Please, so we can sit her down.
I'm not dying. Stop the fussing.
You can stay where you are until the doctor's had a look at you. Oh, Catherine, tell her.
Doctor!
And what's wrong with this young lady? You weren't punched and kicked as well, I trust. Breathe in. And out. How's your vision?
Crystal clear.
Good. Don't dash about hither and thither for a few days. But I've no doubt such advice will fall upon deaf ears. Is that it, Catherine? I have a bed that I wish to return to, and so will all of you, if you have any sense.
Good night, and thank you.
Everybody, please, you'll have to go home now, just as the doctor advised. You may remember, we have a newspaper to write.
Catherine, Joan... This is Molly.
Thank you, my dear, for bringing Lydia back to us. We're grateful. We're very grateful.
I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know outside the prison.
And now you've seen. We aren't liked. We aren't liked at all.
I want to join.
Join? What?
You. I want to join the fellowship.
Well, we don't ask you to join. We ask you to believe in what we do.
And I do. Please, I do.
Why don't you stay, Molly? You could help us. Lydia, tonight is not the night to have a recruitment drive.
May I stay? I can type and I could catalogue for you.
But we couldn't pay you.
I have my job and a room. I could come each evening.
We should need accurate work.
You shall have it.
Very well, then. Welcome aboard the tribunal.
Lydia had been right. The army started to place obstacles in my way and limit access to Teddy. I was refused point-blank a pass to attend the court-martial. Being told later that he had been sentenced to 2 years' hard labour was made all the worse for me, knowing that there would be no way that I could comfort him. They even began to return my letters, unopened. I took to spending all my spare time helping out with the publication of the tribunal. Somehow it made me feel closer to him.
When's Molly due in? She's so much faster than I am.
Good afternoon. May I help you?
Afternoon, miss. This is the office of the Tribunal newspaper.
It is.
And you are?
Surely it would be more polite to tell me who you are first.
How remiss. I'm Detective Inspector Cole. I've been asked by certain higher authorities to pay you ladies a social visit.
That's very sociable of you, Inspector.
Yes, indeed. And you ladies are very busy little people, I'm given to understand.
Are you? It's gratifying to know our work is appreciated.
Oh, yes. I read your newspaper every week.
An avid reader. And do you enjoy it, Inspector?
Oh, it's not what I would perhaps term light reading. I mean, I don't exactly sit down with my cocoa to peruse its pages.
But you get a lot of information and food for thought.
Oh, that we do, miss.
Then we are honoured to count you amongst our readership.
I should point out that I read your journal out of a sense of duty.
We hope you do. That, on the whole, is why 100,000 other people also read it.
That's quite a lot of readers.
Oh, hello.
Oh, good afternoon, miss.
This is Detective Inspector...
Cole.
How do you do? Inspector Cole reads the tribunal.
Bully for Inspector Cole. You've come to nose round, I suppose.
Well, as I said to the other young lady, it is purely a social call.
Ah, in that case, would you care for some tea?
Most kind.
A common courtesy.
But no.
So, if it is not to drink our tea, to what do we owe the pleasure?
Even the most social of social calls have some point to them, if only to pass on gossip or grumble about the rain.
Have you come to grumble about the rain, Inspector? Or just grumble?
I have called out of interest. Interest to see where a journal I read every week is published. A very educational journal. Now, I'm sure you won't deny such a reader the opportunity to have a look at what goes on to put the tribunal together. An educational look.
In that case, Inspector, treat the place as your own.
I will.
Provided, of course, you let us see your search warrant.
What should I be doing with a warrant on a friendly visit like this, Miss Smith?
You know my name, then.
Well, if I'm right, the other young lady is Miss Beecham, correct? And a gentleman, a Mr. Hubert Peet, is the editor, correct? Do any other men work on this newspaper?
Why do you ask?
None of them would be hiding from their obligations under the Military Service Act by any chance.
Our men do not shy away from arrest, Inspector.
You have a lot of files here. I wonder what might be in them. What, or rather who, may I ask, are these files about?
We keep track of all the men who have already been arrested.
And you ladies are the keepers. Sounds a little to me like the zoological gardens in Regent's Park, doesn't it? You keeping an eye on a lot of creatures in little cages, eh?
There are a lot of lions in London Zoo.
Oh, you are a young woman of wit, I see. Are you not, Miss Beecham? Ah, you have a visitor.
May I help you, please?
Is this where I find the fellowship?
Yes, who are you?
Miss, I'd rather my name was not known, but I've come on a matter of great urgency, as I see it, regarding some members of your movement.
Oh, wait just a moment. Inspector, if your social call's at an end, we do have a lot of work to get through.
I hope I may pay you another social call very soon. Good afternoon, ladies.
Oh, police. If I'd had knowledge of that...
Now, what was this matter of great urgency?
I'll bring you this, because I'm a sympathiser, but I don't want no clash with the law.
He's gone now. What's all this about?
Employed by the Southern Railway Company, but being a member of the National Union of Railwaymen, when I discovered it, I thought I should bring it to you.
Yes, but what have you brought?
This note. It was tossed from a Southampton-bound train in a cigarette packet landed on my platform. I have a notion it was intended for your eyes. Anybody could have picked it up, though. Them that threw it were lucky it were me.
Oh, God. What does it say?
Have a look. I've been dreading a day like this would come.
We're going to have to be quick.
Yes, I'll try and get all the information we have on the men involved. Give it to me again, will you? I need to know how many there are.
I hope I did the right thing.
Yes, you did, and we're very grateful. If Catherine's contacts in Parliament are going to do us any good, it's going to be now.
Joan, take a closer look at that list of names. One in particular.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
Ah, Molly.
Sorry I'm so late. The librarian needed some
work. Oh, never mind about that. I'm afraid we have a crisis on our hands.
Oh, what's going on?
We've received information that a group of objectors have been taken from Landguard Fort and shipped across the Channel. Molly, dear, I have to warn you that we believe Teddy to be one of them.
Teddy's in France?
You must understand that in France he'll be under total army regulations and that the punishment for disobedience on active service is death.
Miss Marshall, Miss Beecham, good morning to you.
Good morning.
With respect, Mr. Tennant, we hoped we would be received by Mr. Lloyd George.
The Secretary of State is far too busy to receive deputations.
Mr. Lloyd George was very vociferous in the House the other day, but his denials were far from convincing.
The questions were sprung on him. He was hardly prepared.
Hardly prepared with a collection of lies that your department is no doubt busy concocting for him to deliver in the session this afternoon.
Right.
He was prepared enough to say this. and I quote, "With the kind of man who is an absolute objector, I personally have no sympathy whatsoever. I do not think they deserve the slightest consideration, and I shall only consider the best means of making the path of that class as hard as possible."
You are misinterpreting what he said.
Oh?
Anyway, further questions raised in the House on this matter will be dealt with by me. The title of Secretary for War means exactly what it says. Mr. Lloyd George has far more important things on his mind than a handful of disaffected soldiers.
That is the very point we are endeavouring to make. They are not soldiers. They have been pirated by the army with absolute disregard for the pledges made by your government. And now we learn they've been sent to France.
Ah, but have they? The War Office has received no reports to this effect?
We have, from the men themselves.
I dare say that some of your chaps are not above circulating falsehoods with the intention of embarrassing the civil and military authorities.
I should have thought the army to be immune from such human traits as embarrassment.
I can assure you that there is no intention whatsoever by the government to send conscientious objectors to France, whether it be to have them shot or force them to fight. In any case, the army does not, without the sanction of the cabinet, possess the authority to shoot them. Even if they were in France, which, as I say, I do not believe.
They are imprisoned at Boulogne.
Your chaps told you this as well, did they?
No. We have observers.
Do you now? And would you mind telling us how you managed that?
Not all the serving soldiers delight in this war as much as Mr. Lloyd George seems to do.
Are you saying that you got this information from an enlisted man?
I'm saying nothing. It's hardly relevant at this crucial time, Mr. Tennant. What is relevant, however, is the disturbing extent to which an elected government has lost control of its own military, and above all, the power that this military can hold over the very lives of these objectors.
Miss Marshall, Miss Beecham, I can assure you there is no intention of dealing with these men in any way harshly.
Prisoners Barrett, Foister, Mayhew, Ring, and Scullard will take one pace forward. Move. Private Barrett C. of the 2nd Eastern Company Non-Combatant Corps, tried by field court-martial for disobedience whilst undergoing field punishment. Sentenced to death by being shot. Confirmed by General Sir Douglas Haig. Private Foister J., tried by field court-martial for disobedience whilst undergoing field punishment. Sentenced to death by being shot. Confirmed by General Sir Douglas Haig. Private Mayhew E., tried by field court-martial for disobedience whilst undergoing field punishment. Sentenced to death by being shot. Confirmed by General Sir Douglas Haig.
The honourable members will know me to be no sympathiser with pacifists, but I'm highly disturbed by a report current in the lobbies tonight that 5 men in France have been sentenced to death. These men are stated to be conscientious objectors, and there is a general feeling of resentment or alarm that a report of this sort should be current. I cannot believe it is true, and I merely raise the question now to give the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Under Secretary, an opportunity of assuring the House that it is not true.
I have to tell the House that these men and others have indeed been sent to France. But I emphasize that it was without the knowledge of the government. And I have also to tell you that we have confirmed the reports to which the honorable member refers. The death sentence has been pronounced on these 5 and on another 30. But that this was done once again without the knowledge or connivance of the government. The War Office has sent telegrams ordering stay of execution. It may not be easy to rescue these men, but we regard it as highly desirable.
How is she, Doctor?
Well, she's awake now, but she's still very weak.
May I see her?
Not if all you have is bad news.
The news is good.
Then that will be better than anything I can give her.
Then please let me in.
You people do things to yourselves that no medicine can treat.
Molly. Molly. Can you hear me?
This isn't my room.
We've moved you in with Joan and I.
I have my own place.
Oh, it was horrible. We couldn't let you stay there.
Is he dead?
Far from it. The sentences on all of them have been commuted.
Are you telling the truth?
Of course I am. And they're bringing him back to England.
Will he be free?
No.
But I'll be able to see him.
Or perhaps.
If they're not going to shoot him, how long have they given him?
Well, 10 years, I'm afraid, but...
10 years?
Yes, but... Just a minute.
Then they should have shot him. What's it going to be like after 10 years breaking stones?
Oh, you don't mean that. He's alive. The war can't go on for 10 years. They'll have to release him when it's over. Meantime, you're still going to help us, aren't you? How can we print the paper without Molly?
On the war dragged. Right through 1917, we continued to publish, all the time wishing the job we were compelled to do be made unnecessary by the coming of peace. But no. In that year, I was allowed very few visits to see Teddy. But I always went to the park to wait, in case they'd take pity on us. When I did see him, it was almost like a macabre portrait. The iron frame, and his face on the other side of the mesh. The hard labor was turning him into a ghost.
The pacifists, whose tender consciences are making England ridiculous, continually assert that if Great Britain were to declare the terms on which she is willing to make peace, Germany would gladly lay down her arms and enter into negotiations. Be this true or not, we know we must fight on until the spawn of the devil are utterly humiliated.
By the start of 1918, we could sense a change amongst ordinary people, a hardening of attitudes against this senselessness of war. It was achieving nothing. It could achieve nothing. Such feelings we sought to reflect in our newspaper.
The Tribunal. Thursday, January the 3rd, 1918. The German Peace Offer by Bertrand Russell. If the governments of the Western powers refuse the German offer, they are en masse before the world and make it clear to all that they are continuing the war for purposes of territorial and commercial aggrandizement. They know that from a patriotic point of view, they cannot hope for a better peace by continuing the war. But from the point of view of preventing liberty and universal peace, there is something to be hoped for from that continuation. The American garrison, which will soon be occupying England and France, whether or not they prove efficient against the Germans, will no doubt be capable of intimidating strikers, an occupation to which the American army is accustomed when at home.
Lydia, wake up. It's Molly, wake up.
What's the time?
It's early, but you must get dressed.
What's happened?
We've had word that the police are seizing every copy of the Tribunal they can find, up and down the country. They've even broken into the office.
They must have read something that disagreed with them.
They're really out to do battle with us.
Hand me my robe, will you? They can't silence us.
They mean to have a very good try.
Let them confiscate this issue if they must. We'll always publish next week.
Will we? Without a printer?
Without a printer?
The police went there as well, and they've closed them down.
We're going to go on, Molly.
We are.
And wait through the mess. The police are none too good at cleaning up after themselves. May I introduce Joan Beecham, who's now our editor. This is Mr. Street. Mr. Street is a printer.
Ladies, your servant. I was greatly troubled when I learned of what had been done to you by the authorities. I thought the least I could do to serve you brave people was to offer my modest printing plant and place it at your disposal.
That is a noble offer to make, Mr. Street. But you realize that by printing the Tribunal, you may be putting your presses and your livelihood at risk.
Young woman, we printers may only flourish in a society where information and ideas and opinions can be passed on free and unchecked. By printing your paper, I will make my contribution towards bringing back the values you and I hold so dear. And indeed, a climate of tolerance such as will permit those like myself to continue in our livelihood.
That was well said, Mr. Street.
My plant is not to be described as being in the World League, but I think you'll find it more efficient than what you have here.
Who's there? Who's there? Oh, it's you, young Molly. Good day to you.
These days, you imagine you'll find a dark blue uniform and a helmet around every corner.
I brought them for the coffee. A little late, but you
were waiting. What did you say?
I brought the final coffee.
You'd best get into the office. It's a mind show you're doing from here.
Oh, yes, that's a lot better.
You'll have to hold your talking for a minute, Molly. The door's shut, and, well, for you, that's a world of difference. But the door in my ear takes the longer by a yard to close and the earring to come through. Perils of a machine, Princess Emily.
It must be.
Oh, this is the front page I've been waiting for, is it?
We were waiting on the judge's verdict.
A shout.
The verdict. We had to wait.
Well, nothing like fresh news to sell a paper, huh? Yeah, I'd better set it up. I can offer you no tea, I'm afraid. If you'd like a stout...
Oh, no, thank you.
No objections, I hope, if I do. Noisy and hot, my work. Yeah, the fourth edition since the raid. Home Office hasn't stopped us, and the tribunal still goes out. We all seem to be cracking it, don't we?
The tribunal. On February the 9th, the Honourable Bertrand Russell was sentenced at Bow Street to 6 months' imprisonment for having written the article entitled The German Peace Offer. Joan Beecham, the publisher, was fined £60 and £1 costs.
So, poor Mr. Russell, then. You know, I just can't picture him, a man of his position and background, him being a brother to an earl. I just can't picture him doing time.
We'll miss him. He did a lot for us.
I can't picture him parading round some prison yard, sewing mail bags, eating prison food, swilling out his pot.
But is it really funny?
No. No, the government turns down offers of peace from the enemy, and when people criticize them for it, they put them in prison. No, it's not funny.
It's not only Bertrand Russell who's in prison for wanting peace, you know.
I'm sorry, love. I made a joke out of turn. Have you got to find something to smile at? Any news of you, young man? Molly?
He's been moved to an army hospital. Finally, they deigned to treat it. What is it?
Shh.
What's wrong?
There.
What?
There was a man at the window. He was looking at us. No one there now.
They'll never leave us alone.
You think he was the police?
I know he was.
Oh. Well, I better finish this page.
They have newspapers in prison too, you know. They're written in pencil on toilet paper. Weekly subscription is 6 sheets of the stuff. They have to read them in their latrines.
See? Now, where's the harm in a laugh once in a while? Go on, have a stout. Here.
All right.
Yeah, I got a cap somewhere.
Mr. Street, do you think we're going to shorten the war? Are we going to save even one life?
I can't tell you that. Don't muggle me. I know the point from where I bloody hang.
It's difficult to help our own men. Where does that put the soldiers?
You're weary of it all, I can see. You're tired of it, I know, but you can't stop now. I'm older than you. I know these things. You have youth. I can only witness and print and witness. Be young now. Comprehend it and break it.
No, young woman. No. You must know the rules.
But that was at the prison before he was ill.
I neither know nor care about the rules they have in prison. This young woman is an army hospital.
And this is where they said I should come.
There'll be no troubling of my patients, so I suggest you go.
I have no wish to trouble anyone. Please.
No visits, Miss Hibbert.
Soldiers can have visits.
Soldiers are not in prison. They fought for their wounds. They have a right to be here.
Teddy Mayhew is still alive, and for that he has a right to be here.
There are things best left unsaid, young woman. Your person is here, but he is to have no visits, and that is an order from the military authorities.
You look lost, miss.
Who's that?
No one, any me. They're bringing the blighted ones back from Marne.
Are you from Marne?
No, I've been here since the Somme. Have you a young man inside, that right?
Yes.
He's not from Marne, is he?
No, no, he's not.
No, I heard you talking. That matron's a character, isn't she?
He's not a soldier.
I know he's not. I know what he is. I know what you are. Keep it going. Don't fizzle out on this girl. Stop this bloody thing.
The Tribunal. Thursday, April the 11th, 1918. Stop the war. It need not go on unless the people choose. Across the channel, the cannon are booming. The armies opposing each other are too evenly matched for a decisive victory to be possible. Armies and navies cannot end this war. Who can end it? Only the people have the power. In all countries, the people must say, we will not go on.
I'm coming!
Are you Samuel Street?
I am.
We're police officers. Do you print the Tribunal newspaper?
I do.
And did you print the issue for the 11th of April containing this page headed Stop the War?
I did.
Then stand aside and let us in.
Why have you come? What are those carts for?
I have instructions to break up your plant and machinery.
I will see your warrant.
You'll start with the big ones.
No, no, you mustn't. Some of the machinery is not mine. It is on me.
That is no concern of mine.
We do all this because we ask for peace.
Put it all on the carts. Everything mine. Types, books, invoices.
Social visits, Inspector?
The days of social visits have gone, ladies.
In that case, we'll want to look at your warrant.
We are acting upon direct instructions from the Home Secretary. We need no warrant, ladies. Joan Beecham, are you the publisher of the Tribunal?
After all this time, you still ask me that.
Just answer yes or no.
In that case, yes.
And were you responsible for the back page of issue 105, published on April the 11th?
Yes.
And who is the editor of the paper?
What exactly is going on, Inspector?
Who is the editor?
Hubert Pete is the editor.
Oh, I doubt that very much. Mr. Pete has been in prison these last 2 years. So?
I decline to tell you.
Miss Smith, will you enlighten us?
I will not.
And how about you, Miss Hibbert?
The consequences of refusing information can be severe.
The sergeant's right.
And at this very moment, colleagues of ours...
That's enough, Sergeant.
Sir.
Leave it, Sergeant.
What are colleagues of yours up to at this very moment?
I shall ask you all once again. Who is the editor?
And once again, we shall not reply.
You can let the others in now then, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. In you come.
You know what to do?
What do you hope to find?
Oh, Sergeant Robbins has it in his head that it is illegal to publish a newspaper without disclosing the name of the editor. He's also fixed with the notion that the unknown gentleman in question is trying to undermine the public's will to continue the war. Very patriotic, my sergeant.
What makes you think our editor is a man?
We just want his name, and we'll trouble you no further.
I think I've found something.
Over here, then. What is it?
It's a book.
Oh, the sergeant's found a book. Very literary, my sergeant.
It's called On Liberty.
Now there's a title to conjure with. And who is the author of this tome?
John Stuart Mill.
Oh, I was never a man to trust people who call themselves by three names. Who, ladies, is this thrice named gentleman? Am I to think by your silence that he is a member of your fellowship?
You may think what you like.
And that he may be something more than a mere member, like the editor of the Tribunal, for example. Where may this gentleman be contacted?
In either heaven or hell, I would imagine. He's been dead these last 40 years.
Yes, sir, it says that here.
I suppose this is all a big joke to you, ladies. Let's laugh at the ignorant flatfoot. But I can assure you there is no joke at all. Whatever happens, we have made certain you will not print again.
Is that you, sir?
Yes, it's me. What sort of view do you get?
Well, not bad, sir. We're about level with their office. Them windows over there.
Anything been happening?
All very quiet, sir.
What's that going in the side entrance?
Oh, the old woman with the baby. She comes quite often, but she's a friend of the caretaker's, that's all.
Look at this, Sergeant.
The Tribunal. So they found a printer.
Yes. Read the headline.
Here we are again.
Yes. Now, look, any whisper... Any movement at all that tells you how they get their copy to which printer, and you broadcast it right back to me. Understood?
Poor little thing. It can't be comfortable.
Don't you worry. There's nothing like good paper to keep him warm. Wrap it tightly so it don't show. I'll hold him while you do up the thing. Shush, shush, you noisy article.
I don't know what to do without you, Mrs. Emery.
Lovie, I should tell you that I was stopped by a copper just not far from the door. He asked me questions.
You stuck to the story?
Of course I did.
Oh, well done. They've taken the Women York buildings across the Strand and they're watching everyone. Don't let it perturb you.
Oh, it don't, Lovie. It's quite a game, really. On my way, then. Oh, here you come. There's a good boy.
Good luck.
Oh, Mrs. Emery gone?
Yes. I wanted to tell her my news.
Next time, perhaps.
You off now? What's wrong?
Oh, nothing.
Tell me.
I never thought it would come to this in England. That we should have to take such steps, smuggling copy out in a baby's shawl in order to print a newspaper.
Oh, Lydia, the important thing is we do get it printed.
You know, the change in you is quite an inspiration.
And Teddy is mine.
Mm. They can't stop you visiting him today.
Not with this pass.
And since they've transferred him back to the prison, there must be some improvement. Let's hope it's universal.
Are you aware of the time?
To the minute.
Then you better go. You're nervous?
A little. Oh, Lydia. We have to win.
Come on. Come on. Dawdle, you'll be late.
Yes.
Go on. Go on.
Excuse me. I've been waiting to see a prisoner. He hasn't come out yet.
What's his name?
Mayhew.
I'll wait here a moment.
I just want to...
Wait, please.
I have a pass. It's all arranged.
Yes, someone's coming down to have a word with you.
What about?
They won't be long.
Mrs. Mayhew?
I'm not his wife. He's not married.
But you are a close friend.
Yes.
Sit down, please. In common with other, shall I say, political prisoners, Mayhew has been recently refusing food.
Why? He's weak as it is.
Yes, but presumably you understand that better than I.
How long has he been doing this?
Long enough for the doctors to decide that he should be fed by a nasal tube.
They did that?
It had to be done. But this morning, during the feeding, he inhaled some of the food into his lungs.
What does that mean?
He choked somewhat.
And?
And he's dead, young woman.
We will know them. The cunning, hypocritical rascals who will do anything rather than serve the land which has given them birth and guidance. With sorrow and shame, we admit that they are to be found nowhere else in Europe than in England. Their idea of citizenship is to accept as a right whatever they can get in money or protection.
Gin.
Please, no, thank you.
Come on, give a little lovey. It's honestly nice. That's Rigby, that is. We've done for the Boche, you meant to say.
Let go of my hand, please.
Why, now, I've been there of a uniform at home. That's the proof of it. And this ribbon, this, that's the double proof of it. You're very pretty. That's a nice head of hair on you, girl. Hey, come on. Come on, let you dance with me.
You can't dance and hold your bottle at the same time.
I'm not giving this bottle to nobody. Leastwise, I might to you. You've got a nice face. Have a drink.
No, no.
Oh, you can have a drink on me if you'll come down to Trafalgar Square. I'm seeing some mates.
Well, if you're meeting your friends.
If you see an officer, then tell me quickly. Drinking's a punishable offence, that is.
You're not in uniform now, so who's to bother?
Look, I'd meant to be. I'd forgotten, you know. I'd forgotten. Hey, who's his copper then? What's he about?
That's Miss Hibbert, isn't it? Molly Hibbert.
Hey, is that your name? Molly? I like that. Molly.
You still there, Sergeant? Will you people ever stop following us?
I just wondered where you're walking to, so purposeful on this night.
Walking, Sergeant.
just walking.
He's not walking with you, is he?
Where's the old woman and the child this week?
Oh, so you found out about that, have you? I hope you get a medal for it.
Oh, if it's medals you want, eh?
No, medals. I'm not staying for him or for you.
So you are going somewhere, like delivering the tribunal to the printers?
Yes, I am. I'm taking these pages, packed with all those subversive thoughts to have them set down on a broken old hand press. But if you're so keen, you have them. Take them, go on. The inspector will like that. He'll be so pleased, he'll give you another stripe.
I'm already a sergeant.
Well, four stripes and you'd be unique. Hey, you'll drop your bottle if you're not careful.
No, I shan't drop it. One arm's enough to hold in a bottle. One arm, see?
Please. Oh, please, please don't cry.
Leave off me. Don't touch me.
I will dance with you, if you like.
No.
Please, I didn't mean to upset you. Let's dance.
No, you don't want to.
Well, I do want to.
Leave me. I want to dance with a bastard who cut off my arm. Calmistice, where's the reason for the bloody war in the first
place? Let it be, mate.
Mind my words, for a German down Bricklayer, a gross he was. A good sort, and they burnt his shop. They put him in prison as well. And where's my arm? Where's my bloody arm?
Sergeant, are you going to be my shadow all day? The war is over.
We have our orders.
Then take the copy. Take it.
Oh, I don't want it.
You astound me. What do you want?
I heard about your friend, and I just wanted to say I was sorry.
Don't you think it a pity that someone wasn't sorry a bit earlier? I don't need your regret, Sergeant.
Where are you going?
I'm going to dance with a drunk, one-armed soldier. I danced. I even had a drink. It was impossible for the sergeant to keep an eye on me, and I lost him somewhere in the crowds near Westminster Bridge. He didn't find the hand press, and the tribunal came out yet again. Teddy's death had earned him a half inch in the paper, but in fairness they could give him no more than that, for he was only one of 74 conscientious objectors who died in prison or at the hands of the military. We continued to publish as best we could until long after the war, when eventually they found a way of putting Joan in Holloway. The prison where Teddy was still stands out through the bare branches of the trees. The winter landscape in the park is peopled with blank-faced young men, some still in uniform, some without a leg or part of their face, who sit on those benches and stare. Into nothing.
In We Will Know Them by Gordon McCarrow, the part of Molly was played by Francesca Annis and Teddy by Richard Derrington. Lydia was Fiona Walker, Joan, Caroline Mortimer, Catherine, Pauline Letts, Molly's mother, Hilda Kreisman, and Molly's father, Michael Spice. Mr. Street was Sean Probert, Clifford Allen, David McAllister, Inspector Cole, Ronald Herdman, the landlord, Alexander John, the army captain, Andrew Seacombe, the policeman, John Webb, the major, Roger Hammond, and the librarian, Spencer Banks. The voice of the press was Danny Schiller. Other parts were played by Diana Bishop, Judy Franklin, John Livesey, and Teresa Stretfield. The play was directed by Penny Gold.